It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It brings illumination so that we're clear on where to go and what to do. It is the bread of life that's about to be broken open for you. Brother Ken is up to bat. He's ready to go. Agree together that out of his belly flows rivers of living water. That's life unto those who hear and life unto those who receive. He has the words to speak, the things to say. His tongue is like the pen of a ready writer, ready to inscribe on the tablets of your hearts. Amen? Amen. Come on, Brother Ken.
got to realize that isolation is not for us, that we are to be a united front as the body of Christ. And this also stresses the importance of when you see your brother or sister not here and you've been missing them, reach out. Because those are the people that we need to bring back into the fold to cover, to pray for, to speak the word over. Don't think that because you're in, you know, the house that you're safe. Well, what about the rest of your family? I mean, if you if there was a crisis coming against your home and there's four of you and you got to the basement, would you consider the other three? I'm not even going to say what you did. No, you would consider the whole family, right? And yet, do we have that same mentality when we're thinking about our family, the church, the body? If something affects one member, does it impact or affect us all? Well, if we're truly the body of Christ, then yes, it should. Everybody's job, everybody's position, every person is important. And so we need to have this mindset that, hey, we are building, look at that, we are building the people who build the kingdom. Look out for those who are isolated, who may be straying, and let's cover one another. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 30. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 30. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservant may speak your word with all confidence. What were we just talking about? Keep on speaking and not be silent, right? Here, they're declaring, they're saying, Lord, grant that we may speak your word with all boldness while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Yeshua. Through your holy servant, Yeshua. Our job is to speak God's word, and of course, the Holy Spirit comes and extends and performs the word of God that's spoken. The issue that we want to make sure that we don't fall into is that we become silent. And that's what we're going to get into tonight, that we don't become silent, that we stop, as my brother Damon said, declaring, decreeing, dethroning. No, we are to continue in that vein. 1 Peter, told you to keep your finger there. Thank God you have a lot of fingers. 1 Peter chapter 3. Back to verse 13, right? Who is there to harm you? We just looked at that first part. If you prove zealous for what is good. Every once in a while, one of the things that God had put on my heart is every once in a while, we need to ask ourselves if we're still zealous. Y'all remember when you first got saved? You wanted to get everybody saved because if they weren't getting saved, guess what? You knew they were going to hell. Well, if they don't get saved, are they still going to hell? Yes. Yeah. What kind of church am I at? Come on now. They don't get saved, they're still going to hell, right? Do we care anymore? Do we care? Do we want people to have a relationship with the Father? Do we have, because this is what it gets down to, is the love of God pouring through our hearts. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So every believer, every Christian has the love of God inside them. What can happen is the Christian, the believer, can stop the love of God from flowing out of them. So don't think that even when you see an honorary Christian, don't think that they don't have the love of God. Because sometimes we say that, oh, you need the love of Jesus. They have the love of God if they've got the Holy Spirit in them. What they've done is blocked the flow of the love of God from coming out of them. And so we've got to be very careful of that that doesn't happen in our own life, but that we can continue to share God's love with others and our fellow believers so that they don't put any dams up to block that love. And it can come from a number of things. It could be unforgiveness. It could be covetousness. It could be angry at the Lord for some things that have happened in their life. Whatever the case may be, the love of God can be holed up inside of us. And we want to make sure that that does not happen to us as believers, that we let God's love flow. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to come back to 1 Peter 3. Titus. All the T's are together, in case that helps. And they're in alphabetical order. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. This is talking about our Redeemer. At the very end of 13, it says, Christ Jesus, verse 14, says, Christ Jesus gave himself for us to not only redeem us from every lawless deed, but it says also to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for what? Where have we seen that before? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, where your finger is, exactly. We see it again here in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It's interesting, when you look at this passage, remember a passage I'm teaching us about, we're redeemed from something to something. Well, here we see that lining up. We're redeemed from what? Lawless deeds. And redeemed for what? Not just good deeds. To be zealous for good deeds. And we're going to, that's very important. I'll share why here in a little bit. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, many of y'all know that. We were created for good works, right? This is what God had shared with me. Doing good deeds is good. Can we accept that? Willingly doing good deeds is better. Zealously doing good deeds is best. There's a big difference between someone who's obeying, but they don't want to, and someone who's willing to obey, and someone who's excited about what they're doing on behalf of God. God is looking for people who are zealous for doing his good deeds, for being excited about being in the kingdom, for being excited about all that God has called us to. If you are dreading or have this drudgery about doing the will of God, why would any unbeliever want to do that? How does that minister to unbelievers? If you're thinking, oh, Wednesday night, well, it's our duty. Hey, we go to church on Wednesday night, so let's go. Hallelujah. Let's go. You know, people look at you. You know, hey, you want to go to church? No, that's that's all right, brother. I'm gonna sit here and watch whatever's on. I don't even know what's on Wednesday nights. But you know, hey, something more exciting. I don't know what you said, Brother John, but hallelujah, Lord rebuke you. No, we got to be excited about the things of God. Church stuff is fun. doing the will of God is fun. Accomplishing the things that God wants us to do is fun. It's exciting. And we need to be zealous about the things of God. Your attitude is contagious. If you're excited about something, others tend to get excited about it, or at least watch you in your excitement. I had this past Friday, it was bring your kid to work day. And so I didn't tell Preston, and I learned wisdom from you other parents that you don't tell your kids something way ahead of time, you tell them right before, in case plans change. I didn't know that. See, y'all don't think I listen to y'all. You experienced parents. So anyway, my wife told Preston, she had picked him up Thursday, and I hadn't told him about Friday, but she had picked him up Thursday from school, taking him home, and she was letting him know, hey, you get to go to work tomorrow. Because every day he asks, is this a school day, or is this, you know, day with mom or whatever? And so she let him know that tomorrow you get to go to work with dad. You know, and so I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to work and it's another day at the office, right? Well, Preston is excited and he's talking to mama and he's like, well, dad wears a white shirt, so I need to get a white shirt. Dad wears a tie, so mama, I need a tie. Dad wears a vest sometimes, so I need a vest. So he's very, very excited, and Jennifer's telling him all the things that he gets to do with dad, because it's bring your kid to work day. Well, don't you think my steps that day for Friday, don't you think my excitement or my thoughts of going to work were a little bit different than Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday? Why? Because he was excited. Because my son was excited about going to work. Now imagine if you as a body, if we as a people were excited about going to church. People who are even unbelievers, like, what y'all got going on over there? Napoleon's testimony. Y'all should talk to Napoleon and Lethesia and ask them how they found House of the Lord. But every once in a while, I like to ask people, how did you end up at House of the Lord? I won't tell his testimony, but I will tell you this. They were going to a church in San Antonio, if I'm telling it right, and they visited House of the Lord, and they were very blessed. They didn't start attending yet. But this is what Napoleon said. He said they were attending church at San Antonio, and during service or after, they were thinking, I wonder what they're talking about over at House of the Lord. I was like, yeah, Pastor got them. You know? That's how we should be about the things of God. We should be excited about it and have people wondering if they're at someplace else, I wonder what they're talking about at House of the Lord. Or I wonder what I saw brother so-and-so, I saw sister so-and-so, I wonder what she's prophesying today, or I wonder what is going on. I wonder how many people are getting healed over there. I wonder what word is being shared amongst those people. When you create a buzz, what happens? People want what you got. They want to be a part of it, and for a season, they're going to be hangers-on, but at some point, they're going to dip their toe in the water. At some point, they are going to get all in. They're going to want what you got. We need to be sharing the good news of what we've got and the excitement that we have in the things of God. You know, one of the things that God had asked me is, where did our zeal go? You know, for some of us, we still got it. What about the rest of us? Do we still have a zeal for the things of God? Yes, there's some work involved that sometimes it may get tedious. But the fact that we can still do it and be a blessing to folk, the fact that we have the opportunity to get the kingdom message out, the fact that people are being healed, delivered, and set free through this ministry through the people at House of the Lord, through them going around in their spheres of influence. This is what God is after. And I say all this to say we don't need to manufacture zeal. Okay? It doesn't need any manufacturing. It needs to be genuine. But I will tell you this, you can create an atmosphere for that zeal to come out. What do I mean by that? I can have a funky day, and if I want to, now remember, it's a choice. If I want to, if I want to cheer myself up or get cheered up and I don't feel like it, it don't matter what day of the week it is, I can reach out to my brother Damon and I'm going to be in a good mood. Because that brother is crazy. He will send you a video, a joke. He's always got stuff in the you know, queue. And a lot of times we got to ask ourselves, do we want to have zeal for God? Because God has put people around us. He's put the body, formed us in such a way that we have no excuses. We can always be pursuing the things of God. If you want to have this passion for the pursuit of God, there are people at House of the Lord who will jumpstart you. You understand? You don't have to be isolated or manufacture this on your own. If you ain't feeling it, guess what? Somebody at House of the Lord is. And you just need to connect with them. This is a commercial. That was the Lord, brother. 2 Timothy. Let's back up. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. Who's speaking? Paul. Who is he speaking to? All right. So we're all together. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Never saw this before, but I was meditating, looking at the scripture. This is one of the scriptures that God had put on my heart as we're looking at the message tonight. The word sure caught me. My wife hates that word. Sure. She don't like that word. Because when she asks me a yes or no question, I sometimes answer with sure. And I didn't know, she kept telling me that's not an appropriate answer. It's either yes or no. I never knew what she was talking about. So I looked this up, right? Because we got to fact check stuff, right? I went to urbandictionary.com, and this is funny, y'all. Sure, the definition, which don't just go on the Urban Dictionary because you're going to find some mess. But I went there just to see colloquially what this word meant, right? Because I was like, why do you have a problem with this word? Sure, this is what it says, and she'll appreciate this. The worst response to a yes or no question. I was like, wow, I need to eat my words. Here's why. It says the response you give when you don't 100% want to say yes, but also don't want to say no. Sure is the answer you use when on the fence about something, but is not an acceptable response to yes or no questions. Yeah, see, this message is for me, y'all. I went to the woodshed. So the way it comes up in our house, Jennifer will ask me, "Do you want to go to the store? Do you want to go to the store with me?" And I'll say, "Wow." My response, I normally tell Jennifer, "Sure." Her response, she'll pause, "Is that a yes or a no?" mine, I'm thinking, okay, you want clarity? Sure, I will go to the store with you. Her response, but I asked if you wanted to go to the store with me. See? Hey, if I get taken to the woodshed, y'all get to. So, back to the message at hand. That's for my lovely wife who's watching. 1 Timothy chapter 5, what God brought to me out of this, he said, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. Paul did not doubt the sincerity of Timothy's faith. He said, look, I saw it in your grandmama. I saw it in your mama. It's in you. Or actually, he said, I'm sure it's in you. What was he basically saying? I know it's in you, but I don't see it. Take it back to what God is telling us tonight. I know you've got some zeal, but we need to kind of see this thing to fruition, right? Now, notice what he shares here with Paul. He does this so eloquently. Verse 6, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, another often misquoted verse. What Paul just told Timothy was, I have put this gift in you a long time ago by laying on of hands. We use this scripture as, well, we got to stir up the gift. I'm talking about today's church. We got to stir up the gift by the laying on of hands. That's not what he's saying. He said, I put this gift in you by the laying on of hands a while ago. You need to kindle it afresh. You need to stir that gift up. You don't need to have your hands laid on you again. You need to stir up what's already been deposited in you. And many times we've got to, you know, wake up from our slumber, as Isaiah tells us. We've got to stir up what God has already put inside of each of us. We need to be zealous about doing God's work. 1 Peter chapter 3. You still got your finger there, Tina? All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't have my finger there, so I flip. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse, where do we stop? Let's go to 14, yes. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Now, for some folk, they don't necessarily want to be zealous for the things of God because they don't want to deal with persecution. Or persecution is too strong of a word. They don't want to be different. I'll use that. And when Paul is writing, or when Peter's writing this, he says, even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. I'd rather be blessed and suffer a little bit than be all right and not be blessed. You understand? He says, even if you suffer for righteous sake, you are blessed. We can focus on how blessed we are, or we can focus on the present affliction. It's our choice. What God has shared with me is, one, when you focus on how blessed you are, that motivates you. When you focus on your affliction, that drains you. When you focus on how blessed you are, that inspires you. When you focus on affliction, that derails you. When you focus on how blessed you are, that's how you get through. When you focus on affliction, that's how you stay in. So we've got to focus on how blessed we are. That's why Scripture says, I have this list of, you know, all the things that we should always be doing. And one of the things on there is always be thankful. There's Scripture after Scripture that says, in all things, give thanks. We should always be thankful. There is something, even when, as the folks say, all hell breaks loose, there is something good going on in your world. The fact that you are still here and still get to represent the kingdom, that's enough. I remember Mama Wooly would always say, you know, I greet her at church, and she'd always say something to the effect of, well, the Lord woke me up this morning. You know, she can shout just on that. The Lord woke me up this morning. I mean, how great is it to be thankful for just the little things? 1 Peter chapter 3, looking at verse 14, it says, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. Do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. The Greek word here for intimidation, it's interesting, it says it's phobos, which literally means fear, dread, or terror. So in essence, Peter is saying, do not fear their fear. A lot of times the intimidation that we face from others is them projecting their issues on us. And that's causing us consternation. You tell them, look, you deal with your own insecurities and let me deal with what I got to deal with. Right. Don't let people project their fears, their dreads, their terror on you. Don't fall for that. It says here, do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. Like that. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to come back to 1 Peter. Luke chapter 24, at least I think we are. Our resurrected Lord is paying some visits to the disciples. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Is that where I want to go? Yes. While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Something that the Holy Spirit opened up to me in these verses was our Redeemer was in their presence. And yet, what did they feel? They felt fear. We see that. They were startled. They were frightened. Verse 38, he says that they were troubled and they had doubts. And we think that because the Spirit of God, the fullness of the Godhead resides in us, that we may not ever deal with these same issues. Understand that even if you deal with these same issues, that doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. It means that you need to retrain your mind. You can have the peace of God, the presence of God in your inner man, and everything going crazy or haywire in your mind. And sometimes we just have to stop and say, no, peace to my mind. We have to let the inner man rise up and just declare victory over our mind and say, no, I have the mind of Christ. I will not let fear, I will not let dread, I will not let insecurities rise up. I am complete in Christ. I lack no good thing. Sometimes we got to just talk to ourselves and speak God's word over us. Instead of being intimidated by others, instead of being troubled, what does 1 Peter 3 tell us to do? Go back to 1 Peter. Well, actually, hold on. Yeah, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll be obedient. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 14, we just said, read, and do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. Then he says, but sanctify or set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. When it says the hope, it's talking about joyful and confident expectation of salvation. There's those words again, joyful and confident. Here's what I wrote down. People won't ask you to explain your joyful and confident expectation if you're not joyful and confident. You got to give them a reason to ask. If you're not joyful and confident about your salvation and about your relationship with God, why would anybody want to ask you about it? We need to walk around being excited about the things of God. Everyone who asks you to explain your joyful and confident expectation of salvation is ready to hear it. That's the other thing he shared with me. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to discern it or discern where their heart is. You don't even have to know what church they go to. If they're asking you about why is it that you are saved, they are ready to hear the truth from you. And so what Psalm 81:10 says is, open up your mouth and God will fill it, right? Just speak and give reason for the joy that's in you. Matthew 10, verse 19, our Redeemer was telling the disciples, when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. You know, we've, in the church, they've had many times in good training for learning the scriptures, but, you know, they try to teach you Romans road for salvation, right? Well, it's good for learning Romans, which we want to get into a study of Romans later, but that's good for learning and soaking up the word, but you don't have to have a programmed, this is how you share the gospel with someone. No. Scriptures tell us that the Spirit of God will rise up within you and share. And one of the things that you'll notice throughout every time you're seeing the gospel shared is God always started with what a person knew. Remember when Philip was talking to the eunuch? What was he reading? The book of Isaiah. Did Philip start explaining to him the book of Deuteronomy? No. He started with where he was reading Isaiah and told him how that was pointing to Yeshua, the Christ, the Messiah. And so that's why the Spirit of God has always got to be involved in our sharing the gospel, because you've got to know where they're at. Don't go talking to an unbeliever and talking about the joys and the power that you have of speaking in tongues. I was overhearing a conversation at work, and I'm in my office just working away on my computer, and we got unfiltered conversations, right? So I'm listening, and they're talking about, yeah, I just get weirded out. Some of those churches, you know, there's some churches, they do that speaking in tongues thing. And I'm trying not to be distracted, but I'm hearing this, and I'm like, you know, I want to go say something, but Lord's like, you keep on doing your work. Didn't feel that unction to go, right? You've got to listen to the Holy Spirit, and hey, when he tells you to say something, you say it. When you don't, when he tells you not to, keep your mouth shut and keep doing what you need to do. Always listen for the unction to function, but good times at work. Y'all know, y'all got people at work. 1 Peter chapter 3. At the end of the chapter, drop all the way down to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, right at the end of 21, it says, it's talking about the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. What do we learn at the end of verse 22?
They already have been.
Yes. What did Damon just minister this Sunday, talking about the already's of God? Here is an already of God. This is not something that's going to happen. This is not something that's futuristic. This is an already of God. It says here that authorities, powers, angels have all been subject or put in subjection to our Redeemer. If you need, in case this is not enough, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says that our Redeemer has disarmed every power and principality. So don't let the enemy fool you into thinking that they've still got artillery. No, they've been disarmed. Everything is in subject to him, which brings us back to the very first verse I started with. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1 tells us what? The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world, and those who dwell in it. This, I'm here to tell you tonight, is God's earth. Act like it's so. This is God's domain. We as believers need to act like it's so. Quit, bowing down to or running from the enemy. No, we are to enforce what God has established here on the earth and manifest his kingdom, will, plan, and purpose here on the earth and speak the things that God has told us to speak. Who'd God put in charge of this domain?
Us.
Yeshua is the king of what? So if he's the king of kings, what does that mean you are? Says he is the Lord of what? So if he's the Lord of lords, what does that make you? Yes. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of whose house this is. And this is how God just talks to me. So if you need a different translation, this is my version. Sometimes he needs to remind us of whose house this is, because the enemy wants you to believe that it's his house. And if you look at the scripture, there's a scripture in, I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, that talks about how the enemy is the prince of the power of the... Do y'all know what that means? That means he's in between. Heaven, earth, the enemy is homeless. This ain't his home. Heaven ain't his home. Even when he went to accuse Job, remember what he did. He went and asked for permission. Our Redeemer took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. This earth don't belong to the enemy anymore. And so we as believers, when we talk about establishing God's kingdom, will, plan, and purpose here on the earth, that's what we are going to be about. This is God's domain. This is his world. And as a matter of fact, God desires that all men be saved. And so we're going to speak and decree as many people as we can and get back what God wants back. Galatians chapter 6, we started with that as well. I want you to hear the Message translation. We're going to read verses 9 through 10. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefits of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Did y'all hear that? That's what we're about. We are going to be, as 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, we're going to be about our Father's business. Amen? Amen. Brother Richard.
Praise God. I remember somebody saying one time that got so fired up, you're ready to storm hell with a water pistol. That's pretty excited. If you just kind of work on that image for a little bit, you know, all you got is a water pistol, and here are all the flames and the stuff. That's pretty excited. That's pretty excited. Are you excited tonight about whose we are? We are sons of the Most High God, and what an excellent, excellent word and delivery and everything about it. Praise God. Brother Brian, you can preach over me or decree over me every time I want to speak too, because that worked out real well. We all work together. Praise God. Are you excited? Yes. Amen. Amen. You know, we've got work to do. But before we go out, now we go out in our own lives every day, doing what we have to do to work, school, whatever we have to do. But before we go out as a body, before we go out as an assignment, we need to be together. We need to be in unity, and we need to have that zeal that Brother Kenneth was talking about. So that's what we're going to work on. We're going to work on from now for as long as it takes. We're going to work on being together in unity and being excited about not just House of the Lord, but about what God wants us to do in reclaiming his earth. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we know what to do. We're going to bless Brother Kenneth tonight. Get your dollars and your 10s and 20s and 50s and get ready. When we dismiss, you can put them in the bucket there, and we'll be a blessing to Brother Kenneth as he has blessed us tonight. Stand with us. Let's just praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful, Father God, for the delivery of your word to us and for the Spirit of God that has quickened our hearts and has charged us up, Father God. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word will not be stolen from us. We will not turn loose of it, but by our own choice and by the acts that we do by our choice, we will be zealous for the kingdom of God and for the people of God and for the people of the earth to bring them into your kingdom, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the word that we have heard. We seal it with the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and we say we will not turn loose of it. It will not be stolen from us. The enemy will not deceive us. The enemy will not steal that word from our hearts, but it will take root. It will grow and produce much fruit, and we will live happy, joyous, exuberant and zealous lives for you, Father God. Not just so that we can be happy and excited all the time, but Father God, so that we can be happy and excited for you and your things that you have laid in front of us to accomplish, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We praise your name. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your name, blessed be your name, blessed be your name. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Now, Father God, I just lift up all of the people of House of the Lord Fellowship Church before you. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against them prospers, but every tongue that would rise against them in judgment, we curse and cast it down. Every opinion, every word of condemnation, every word of judgment, it is void of effect in their lives, Father God. And I thank you, Father, that great is the peace of your children. Great is the peace of the people of House of the Lord, because they are taught of you, Father God. And I thank you that you go before them, that you surround them on all sides with your favor, with your grace, with your mercy. Thank you, Father, that everywhere they go, they are the sweet-smelling savor of your presence, and that everything they put their hand to, Father, is successful and prosperous because you have given us the power and the authority to gain wealth. And, Father, I thank you that there is no lack, there is no need, there is no want in every household, in every individual, every family, Father God. I thank you. Father, and I thank you that there is no sickness among us, Father God, but we are the healed of the Lord, and we will rise up and declare your goodness to the nations. We will declare all that you have done for us, and we celebrate you, Father. I call your people, Father, blessed, and I know that you have blessed them already, and whom you have blessed, none can curse. I call all of you children of the Most High God and blessed. And the Lord surrounds you with his goodness and favor. Amen. You are dismissed. Go with God. We will have a praise team rehearsal tomorrow night.